I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about winter farmers markets. We're going to talk about how they work and what you can find at them. My guests will be Molly Trueblood of the Indy Winter Farmers Market, Randy Stout, a vendor and farmer, Ron Carter of the Carmel Farmers Markets, and Dr. Jennifer Dennis of Purdue University. Please join the conversation. Call us toll-free at 1-866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Now, this news.
Limits is made possible by your membership and by Apparatus IT Security, identifying network vulnerabilities to help keep companies secure. More information on security assessments for businesses at apparatus.net. And by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th State University. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about winter farmers markets today on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI, and Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Well, my guests are Molly Trueblood of the Indy Winter Farmers Market. Molly, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Randy Stout, who is a vendor and farmer. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here as well. And Ron Carter, who is with the Carmel Winter Carmel Farmers Markets. I've got to correct that. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Well, John, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. It's always a pleasure to talk about farmers markets also.
Good. Well, we'll have plenty of time. We're also going to be joined a little bit later by Dr. Jennifer Dennis of Purdue University. I'm going to start first so that we can talk about, you know, in broad terms, what is a farmers market? What is a winter farmers market? I'll start with you, Molly.
Sure. A farmer's market typically is a place where a farmer can come and sell their goods to customers directly. Winter farmers market is the same exact thing. I would say in Indianapolis, what we've been able to do is have it inside as opposed to outside. So that would be one of your major differences. The other would be what's growing now. So you'd find different things in the summer than you would in the winter, but okay. Same style.
Let's deal with it. Where do people go to find the Indy
Sure.
Winter farmers
We're
market?
Inside of the Indy City Market. So okay. That's on Market Street between Alabama and Delaware.
Right across from the city county building.
Mm-hmm. And they have their summer market outside, so it's the same place but different location.
And let's deal with the second part of that. What do you find at a winter farmer's market that you wouldn't find at a farmer's market at other times?
Well, you might find different kinds of produce. So a lot of people are looking for things that they might find in the summer, which might be summer squash, peppers and tomatoes and those kind of things. So we don't have that, but what we do have is usually leafy greens, kale, salad greens, and a lot of root vegetables like carrots and potatoes, sweet potato and winter squash. And then we'll have all the other things that complement your meal, like bread and meat and cheese, as well as baked goods, fruit, and other complimentary items.
Okay. Ron, how about if you talk with me a little bit about Carmel's? Is the operation similar?
It is similar, John. In fact, we have most of the same items for sale. We are in, however, the underground parking garage of the Indiana Design Center at 200 South Rangeline Road. And while it is indoors, it's been a little bit chilly this year. We're protected from the wind, but as I say, it's a little bit chilly. But the markets, I think, are also, and you ask about markets in general, markets are basically, I think, a third place They're a place where you can come and see your neighbors each week and say, hey, how was your week? What's going on with your family? Mm-hmm. We've lost so many third places in the country that it's good to have an ongoing farmer's market, not only for the vendors to sell their products, but also for the residents of our community to gather and see and understand each other.
You say third place is the
mm-hmm.
– what are the first two?
Well, a third place, when we look at those, is a situation where people – it used to be the third places in many communities were the bars and taverns where mm-hmm. people could go and sit down and be on the same level. No matter what their socioeconomic level was, they were on the same level. They could discuss the politics of the day. They could discuss how their friends were getting along, et cetera. The first place is generally home and work. And in the third place, as I say, those have somewhat disappeared. So now they're coming back.
So it's like it's a community space.
It is.
A place for people to connect.
Yes.
Well, and Randy, it sounds like it's an outlet for you to, you know, to sell what you grow and produce, right?
That's correct. You know, the fun thing with the winter market is having the customers who are willing to eat seasonably, where they're not looking for sweet corn and tomatoes in January, that they understand that their diet has to change if they want to support the local economy and eat what is in season, what can be grown or what was grown in the summer and can be stored and kept. Until then, and you know that's very encouraging as a farmer that I don't have to try to collect all my income in July, August, September. That we can spread it out through a greater part of the year, and you know.
Yeah, you don't have to be like a jewelry store and make your nut in November and December.
Exactly.
Basically,
yep.
Yeah. Well, how much of how big a part of we tend to forget that farms are businesses too. How bigger part of your business is participating in this, and where do you sell?
We sell at the Any Winters Farmers Market. My wife goes to the Bloomington Winter Market as well, and those probably equate to 15 to 18% of our overall gross income for the entire year.
So what you sell at those two places, so we're talking about somewhere around a sixth,
yes,
then
yes.
of your income stream. And Molly, I'll bring it back. How big a business is the Indy Farmer Winter's Market? I mean, how many people are employed? How much money
yeah.
flows through there?
We support about 40 vendors each week. Overall, within the season, we'll have about 60 vendors. I am the full-time staff, and there are three or four other staff members that work kind of part-time as well. And usually we try to... you know, we try to reach about 1,000 customers every week. It can be hard for us to gauge exactly what that translates into dollars, but if people are making an average of $500 a week per vendor, then times that by 40, that's usually what you're going to get. And we're open for 24 weeks. So,
how is it structured that you get a commission for what they sell, or do they just rent the space? Or
no, I don't get a commission from what they sell. I have a basic flat fee, and we charge vendors a weekly booth fee, so it depends on how often you want to come, but we'll charge you about $20 a week for that.
So, and how many vendors did you say you had?
About 40.
40, so at $20 a week,
mm-hmm.
that works out to about $800
mm-hmm.
right there. And then what is the flat fee that... Is there a flat fee on top of that as well, or?
I mean, we have to pay overhead expenses like rent, but that's mostly of most of our operating expenses, a phone line, that kind of stuff.
But I guess so. That $800 a week is mm-hmm. the only income that the farmers market piece of this
generates? It has been typically the only income. We've started other programs like sponsorships and Friends of the Farmers Market to try to get a little bit more, but we do. If we only had vendor fees, all we would be able to cover would be our rent and my salary.
So what are the other sources of income then?
We look for partnerships with businesses and sponsorships, and people have the opportunity to support the farmers market as well.
Are you set up then as a not-for-profit?
We operate as part of a nonprofit of Growing Places Indy.
Okay.
We're an initiative of them.
Okay. And is your business model, Ron, similar or is it different?
We're a little different. Mm-hmm. The Carmel Farmers Market is an Indiana nonprofit. And we have approximately 50 volunteers. We have no paid staff. We never have. And so it takes, for the winter market, it takes about 4 to 5 volunteers to run that. And then for the summer market, it takes us generally about 17 volunteers per shift.
Okay.
We have sponsors. We have a season-long sponsor in IU Health North.
Okay.
And then we have a number of other sponsors that take a lower profile at the market.
We are talking about winter farmers markets here on No Limits. Please join the conversation. Give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, in terms of the other part of this is who comes to the farmer? You know, I mean, it's a little bit like, it sounds like in both cases, we're somewhat Field of Dreams category here, where you build it and then hope that they will come. Who are the folks who show up? You say, Molly said that 1,000 people come through the Indy one. What kind of traffic, Ron, do you get, would you say, during the week?
This is the third year for the market.
Okay.
And our traffic is in the neighborhood of around 400 to 500 on a Saturday.
And is Saturday the only day that you're open?
Mm-hmm.
How often are you open, Molly?
Just Saturdays as well.
Just Saturdays as well. So really, both of you then, I assume, have other ways to pay the bills besides this. So, and that means then, if that's the case, is the Bloomington one the same?
Yes.
Randy, so you're generating that sixth of your income selling one day a week?
Correct.
So the traffic must be pretty brisk then during that one day.
It is. It goes in spurts. You get your serious grocery shoppers there first thing in the morning. They want the biggest selection of what's there. You know, our biggest average sales normally come in the first half hour. You know, folks bring their grocery list. They're shopping for their groceries for the week. They see what you have. How's it going to fit in? We have these recipes. Do I have any recipes to offer them? And, you know, after that first half hour, it kind of evens out a little bit. But the serious grocery shoppers are there early because they want the selection to know what's there before, you know, the carrots run out for the day or the arugula or whatever it may be that they're after.
Is there a way to find out ahead of time what's going to be available on that day, Molly?
We publish our vendor list every week so that people can have an idea of what's going to be available, and then we provide a link if they have a website or a Facebook so they can check out the different vendors and what they're going to offer.
So this would be a good moment to give people that URL. Then,
sure. We're at IndyWinterFarmersMarket.org.
Go ahead and please give that again.
Sure. We're at IndyWinterFarmersMarket.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. And Ron, do you have a URL, a website, or is it just...
We do.
Okay.
It's the CarmelFarmersMarket.com, all one word, CarmelFarmersMarket.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And we have an email newsletter that people can sign up for that goes out every week of the market season.
Okay. Who are the folks, though, who show up and do the shopping? I mean, I know Randy has said the serious grocery shoppers, but that could be anyone. A lot of people do their grocery shopping early on Saturday morning. What makes people decide to go to a farmer's market? Is there a profile? Ron, I'll start with you on that one.
We do have a profile. We do a research benchmark every year after the season is over to look at our consumers and try to determine who they are. Generally, they are families, 25 through 34. That are looking to eat very healthy. And that seems to be our market. And then we have retired folks who also come to the market and are there to make sure that they get the kind of food that they'd like to have and food that they thought was good when they were younger and continue to think of as being the things that they grew up with and would really like to have good food.
So some of it is health, but you'd mentioned also earlier that it's that third place. Some of them come because they want to feel a sense of connection with the food chain itself, know exactly where the food did come from, and to pass the time.
That's true. It's more true in the summer, however.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that since yours is in a garage, right,
yes.
And not you're protected from the wind, but not from the cold. Has the weather slowed down the traffic?
Without question. Without question. I think it's slowed down the traffic for everybody, not just farmers markets, but for everybody. And it has slowed the traffic down.
How big a hit have you taken?
I would suspect that we could increase the number of people at the market by a third or more if the weather were better.
We are talking about winter farmers markets. My guests are Molly Trueblood, Randy Stout, and Ron Carter. We'll be joined by Jennifer Dennis in just a moment. Please join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881 or shooting us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about winter farmers markets. My guests are Molly Trueblood of the Indy Winter Farmers Market, Randy Stout, who is a vendor and a farmer, Ron Carter, who is with the Carmel Farmers Markets, and we're joined now by phone by Dr. Jennifer Dennis of Purdue University. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Certainly. I understand you run a boot camp.
Yes. Or
could you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Our boot camps are a collaborative effort with the Indiana Cooperative Development Center and Department of Horticulture, Purdue Extension. And we've been running the boot camps for 8 years now, where we focused on topics that have to do with market masters or those who run the market, as well as vendors or individual businesses that participate in the farmers markets.
Who are the folks who take part then? I mean, how many people do you have involved?
It depends on the topic, but I would say we've had an intimate group as much as 20 to 30 people, as much to 80, 85 people, and it just depends on the topic. So, for example, if we're talking about farmers markets, health department relationships, that tends to be something that gets everyone's attention, and we have a larger audience.
Yeah, Ron's laughing. It's that, and it was kind of a rueful laugh here. So walk me through then some of the things that that at these boot camps, obviously the farmers market and the health department relations is one thing that you'll focus on. What are the kinds of things that you'll be teaching there, that you'll be working on?
Well, this year our boot camps are in April. They're going to be once a week for that month. We have dates April 2nd, April 10th, April 18th, and April 24th. And then we have one separate in March on the 18th, just to give you an idea of the types of things that we do. And the topics range from year to year, but we try to keep some things consistent. March 18th, we're going to talk about EBT, electronic benefits transfer, and SNAP, and talking about how to incorporate more of that population within the market, because that's a very interesting up-and-coming, I won't say lucrative for the sense of, you know, trying to garner money, but they are a very interested group of people who are interested in farmers markets. And then April 2nd, we're going to talk about rules and regulations, and we generally have a panel of people who've done this before who can talk about some things that they've encountered in the seasons past or things they've seen that have worked well in other places. And so we have people talk about that. On the 10th of April, we're going to have innovative marketing techniques, and that's ranged in the past anywhere from merchandising to just talking about new and innovative things that people are doing to either bring in new vendors, to bring in new people to the market. And that could include things like the different types of entertainment that people have, all the way to, you know, how do you build a good display. On the 18th, we're going to talk about producer rules, and that will mainly be a market master-driven presentation, but it's really to talk about things that will help to ensure a successful farmers market for this season. And then the last topic on the 24th, we're going to talk about grant funding. And for those who are interested in securing funds to increase activities in their market.
Well, and who all can, if someone wanted to attend this, was listening, what are there prerequisites or how would they get involved? Who is eligible to attend?
Well, anyone is eligible to attend. We'd be lucky and happy to have you. If you are interested, you can contact my secretary. Her name is Jen Deiser, spelled D as in dog, E-I-S as in Sam, E-R. And her number is 765-494-1296.
Go ahead and give that again. Sure. People don't drive around with pens in hand.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Jen Deiser. And again, that number is 765-494-1296. When you call, that's the Purdue Horticulture Secretarial Office, and you just tell them that you're interested in attending the Farmers Market Boot Camp Series, and she'll ask you which one and take your information down. You can contact me directly via email. My email address is jh as in Henry Dennis at Purdue.edu. That's jhdennis@purdue.edu. So either one of those market masters, vendors are welcome, people who are interested in starting a farmer's market or vendors that are interested in going to a market, anyone can attend.
Is there a cost to attend?
Normally there is a cost. This year it is free, and all of our boot camps will be held at the Indiana Farm Bureau Building, which is 225 Southeast Street in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Great. We are talking about winter farmers markets here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Got a caller named Jennifer on the line. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, sometimes you see a roadside fruit and vegetable stand, and I had been under the impression that those were farmers markets until I asked the employee there, and they told me that their vegetables and fruits are just leftover stock from grocery wholesalers that they buy, like in Chicago. And I thought, wow, it's important to maybe highlight the difference between those and a real farmer's market, maybe.
Yeah, you provoked a reaction here in the studio. Almost everybody jumped out of their seats. Jennifer, thanks very much for the call. And I'm not sure which one of these folks I'll let have a crack at that first. Well, Molly was the one who almost got airborne on it, so I'll let her go. Thanks very much for the call.
Well, I think that it's not always clear what you're buying, and it's not always necessary to announce where you bought your product or where you found your product. So farmers markets have tended to gravitate more towards direct selling, so we can only have vendors that sell what they make or grow or raise themselves. So I think there's a misconception of what you can find and what can be grown. And certain farmers markets, I think, do allow reselling, but we don't. I think it's a little bit more clear who you're buying from in that situation.
Is there a licensing requirement for a farmers market? And if so, with whom do you have to be licensed? I'll throw that one to Ron.
There is no licensing requirement for farmers markets. I'll go back and say, as we talked a little bit about our model's a little different than Indy, we have the same model for the summer that we do for the winter, and that is we're a 50-50 market. All products have to be Indiana grown and or produced, and then the grower or the producer has to grow at least 50% or produce at least 50% of everything they sell at the market. The other part they can purchase, but they have to purchase it directly, and we mean directly from another producer. And we have a vendor relations committee, a group of folks that are volunteers that we pay their mileage, and they travel all over the state to our vendors, and they will go to their farms. They will look at the acreage that they have out. They will also go to their certified kitchens to make sure that they are producing what they say they're producing. They also will occasionally show up at the vegetable auctions around the state to see, frankly, if there are any vendors there that they might recognize. Mm-hmm. And we have severed some vendors from the market for purchasing product at an auction, a commission house, or a middleman of one type or another. We don't allow any purchase from middlemen.
Is that you anticipated one of my questions, which is, are there ever people that you say no to? No, we're not. Molly's nodding her head yes.
And, yes.
And obviously Ron was saying
yes.
What are the reasons, Molly, that the Indy Farmers Market would say no? We're not going to give you a booth.
Well, we have limited space indoors, so what we do is an application process, and we ask a series of questions about, who are you, where do you grow, and what is your product, but also, do you use sustainably recognized harvest techniques, or do you amend your soil in any way, and that helps us make a good decision about who to bring. It can be challenging, as I'm sure Randy will tell you, to grow in the winter, so it can be tempting to gravitate more towards...
I'm thinking weather like this, yeah. It would be more challenging than most. But.
So it could be easy to do a craft market or things that you could produce year-round, but we really want to show people that there are still things that you can get fresh and seasonal, even when it's cold out. So we're trying to strive to get a balance of products and not just things that you could make all year-round.
We've gotten an email question from a listener. If you'd like to send us an email, do it at nolimits@wfyi.org. This one says, I've been to the city market several times, but the fresh food market has been closed each time. Is organic produce available, and is there a comparable market in Greenwood? Molly.
Well,
I'm guessing this person lives in Greenwood.
Sure, yeah. I think that Greenwood has a summer farmers market, but I don't know that they have a winter farmers market. They might that I don't know of, but I think... The city market and the Indy Winter Farmers Market are still separate entities. So what I know about the fruit stand in the city market is that I think it closes around 3 o'clock every day and they don't stay open much later than that. As far as what we provide, we don't have an organic requirement, but we do ask about the practices that our farmers and growers and producers have, and we try to strive as close to organic as possible, but usually that certification is impossible for all farmers and vendors because of the cost restrictions, but we do ask if they follow those sustainable practices.
How much of your business is folks coming who want organic? We've talked about how a lot of this is coming from the impulse to try to live a healthier life. I'll throw that one first to Ron, but I think everybody ought to take a crack at it. And then my second question on that too is, how much of this, we're now entering into the fifth year of a huge national debate about health care and trying to get ahead. How much of that has shaped the growth of farmers markets in general and winter farmers markets?
Well, I think to answer your last question, when we began the Carmel Summer Market 16 years ago, there were 4 markets that we had to compete with. Today, each spring, in fact, I will look at the listing of farmers markets in the newspaper and just count those up. And the last time I counted, I think we had 120 markets to compete with in the central Indiana area, especially including going down to Bloomington. So overall, farmers markets have grown dramatically, just mm-hmm. dramatically. As far as organic is concerned, we do see more organic vendors. I'm not sure we see quite as many people willing to pay the cost of organic as folks would like to see, but we do see an increasing number of people who are certified organic.
Molly?
I don't think that the certification for organic is as important to our customers as really getting to know the farmer and their practices. They can feel more comfortable with the practices and the not certified organic if they can ask the farmer, what do you do to your soil? Do you spray your apples? All that kind of stuff. So that helps them feel more comfortable. As far as healthcare in relation to the farmers markets, we've seen a number of different things. I think the connection to your producer has given people a social benefit as well as an economic benefit. It keeps your money local. They feel better eating more locally and more seasonably. And then there's an environmental benefit to keeping things in season and as local as possible. We've seen a great growth in our use of food stamps as well. So that's something that we've been trying to encourage as an organization is people eat more healthy and they can save those healthcare costs by being preventative through not only eating well, but living well as well.
Jennifer Dennis, I'm going to throw basically the second part of that question. You've been doing the boot camps for, what, 8 years, I think you said?
Yes, we've been doing the boot camps for 8 years, and as a faculty member, I've done some research on farmers markets as well. And so to answer that question, you know, farmers markets, even 4 or 5 years ago, Indiana was seeing twice the growth of the national trend. So the national trend was about 111% growth in farmers markets. Indiana was at 222% growth. Indiana has also been on the United States Department of Ag Marketing Service, their top 10 fastest growing states for farmers markets.
Why is that?
Well, when you talk about that part about healthcare and organic versus local, you know, there'll always be a segment of the market that'll be interested in organic, and most of that tends to be first-time mothers, mothers that are breastfeeding. But what you find is that people really are interested in local and where food comes from. And I think that is driving, in addition to people understanding now the correlation between health care and eating correctly. And I'll just give you a personal example. I have a 3-year-old, and we're tired of this snow. One, we don't have a winter's market in Lafayette, and she asks me every week. She knows that we go to the farmer's market every Saturday, and she says, when is the farmer's market opening?
Oh, so it gets that community aspect that Ron was talking about earlier, that sense of connection. Well, if you could, Randy, walk me through then why you choose to part you know to do this. I presume you could sell what you're growing to traditional grocery stores or food outlets. Why does it make sense for you to do it this way?
Actually, you know, we're raising over 100 acres of produce through the summer, and we're too small to sell through a traditional wholesale market like, you know, a grocery store or a food wholesaler. And we don't have the volume to meet their needs. And so this works well for us. We run our farm stands in the summer. We raise some storage crops that we can have into the winter. We have greenhouses that we can grow in without any heat in the winter, that we actually let the plants freeze at night. We control how much water is in the soil so it keeps them from freezing and dying. They go ahead and they basically go dormant at night, come back to life during the day. So, you know, it's kind of tough to be in that size that we are considered a large produce farm, but however, we're not big enough to specialize to grow for, you know, a wholesale outlet.
Jennifer, I know we're going to lose you after the break, so I want to ask a question in terms of that growth. I mean, 220% or whatever. A, do we see any signs that that's slowing down? Has it been constant over the past, or have we seen huge spurts along the way?
Well, that's a good question. It has been steady growth. It has started to slow down a little bit, and that's merely because, you know, there are only so many farmers out there. And so what happens is that you see a lot of farmers going to different markets. And I think someone earlier on your panel talked about the 120 markets that are just in their radius, you know, going down to Bloomington. So you see different areas who want a farmer's market, or, for example, in my area, you know, we'd love to have a winter's farmer's market. But then you have, you know, the same number of farmers reaching out to different places, and it's a huge time commitment in terms of, you know, getting your produce there, you know, visiting, and of course farmers markets are more than just produce, but getting a market that is filling in terms of diversity of products. So I think what you see now is people who are trying to figure out which market to attend, and of course they like that diversity, but from the farmer perspective, trying to get enough people to attend those markets, and so again, strategizing different dates, et cetera, those are the things that are most important. I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon in terms of, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years, because I think people want that interaction. They also want to make sure they can get healthy food.
We are talking about winter farmers markets here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Molly Trueblood of the Indy Winter Farmers Market, Randy Stout, who is a vendor and a farmer, Ron Carter with the Carmel Farmers Markets, and Dr. Jennifer Dennis, Purdue University. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about winter farmers markets on No Limits today. My guests are Molly Trueblood, who is with the Indy Winter Farmers Market, Randy Stout, who's a vendor and farmer, and Ron Carter, who is with the Carmel Farmers Markets. I want to talk, Randy, before we went to the break, you were saying something that I found fascinating. We focused about, you know, why people come to these things and why they go. And you gave me an insight into another benefit to these markets that I had not thought of. In some ways, it gives small farmers a way to stay in the game.
Yes, right? Yes, very much so. The cash flow for any farmer, whether you're a conventional grain crop farmer or a produce farmer, is typically a small window. You know, for produce, you're looking at July through October. And trying to budget that money into the winter, you know, it's nice to have this extra cash flow coming in weekly, and having that source there, and we can adjust on what we are doing from year to year, not so much within a year, as to the need at the market, that we can see what's not being raised. Several years ago, we were doing lots of lettuce and spinach and arugula, and other growers were coming in, and they were increasing their share of that market as well. And so we stood back and said, well, why compete with everybody else? Why fight with them? Let's find out what we need. And we've expanded into sweet potatoes. We offer a white sweet potato, a red skin, an orange skin, 30 different kinds of winter squash. We eat all these. We taste all these. We can tell you how to prepare them. You know, it's the smallest minute details is how we taste the difference in them. You know, if you eat one today and one tomorrow, you're going to say there's no difference in it. But yet when we're doing it side by side, and I can share that information with you and make that contact, that connection with the customer, I mean, it's a lot of fun for me. And it's a constant challenge because it's a constant evolution in what we're doing. You know, things don't stay the same. We're all the time having to rethink our whole outside look on what's going on.
We're talking about winter farmers markets here on No Limits, and we've got an email question from a listener named Jane. If you would like to send us an email, do it at nolimits@wfyi.org. Jane says, I thought prices would be cheaper than a grocery store since there are no middlemen and no long-distance hauling costs. I don't begrudge farmers making money. I'm just curious why there aren't better prices at the local markets. I'll throw that one to Randy first. How do you price what you're selling?
We deal with that issue year-round. In the summer, the grocery stores will run sweet corn on special, you know, 3 ears for a dollar or, you know, quarter an ear, something like that. And we're selling by the dozen, and we're $4.50, $5 a dozen at the roadside stands. And it's what we're not competing with the grocery stores on price. We're competing on flavor and quality. We are fresh. We're everything that we're selling, whether it's a farmer's market or a roadside stand, is hours old. We're not talking days or weeks.
That anticipated my question, which is how do we define fresh here?
Right. We don't have anything in the summer that's over 24 hours old. I mean, it's normally we're less than 12 hours since it was picked to when it's offered for sale. And the grocery stores are dealing with large farms who are quite oftentimes not even within several hundred miles of central Indiana, who are specializing in one crop. They have lots of mechanization. They have it down to a science, you know, as far as their watering, their fertility, whether they're organic or not is another issue. They have harvest aids. They're not doing it all by hand. They have their outlets for it. They have the trucking, the shipping, the packing. It's all controlled. And they're making their money by doing a huge volume, semi-loads a week, whereas we're doing maybe pickup loads a week if we are fortunate. And so, you know, we're not competing on price. We're competing on quality and flavor.
And how do you – you said often during the summer it's never more than 24 hours
right.
old, never more, and generally less than 12 hours old. How in the winter does that, is it different or is it?
Yes, like our storage crops, our sweet potatoes and squash that we have right now were all grown last summer and then been put in storage. And so they are actually months old. But yet the way we store them and we work, that we're not actually aiming for optimum storage. Our varieties we're growing are still grown for flavor. And so instead of having an acorn squash in March, like you can find in the grocery store, we are out of acorn squash now because the varieties we grow will only store about 90 days. Mm-hmm. And then they start to go bad. And so then we have to quit selling them. But, you know, we're aiming for flavor and not for storability. It's the same difference as the tomatoes that you get in the winter in the grocery store have been shipped. They're a hard tomato. They're a whole different variety than what we would grow in our gardens in the summer. And that is one of the many reasons why they don't taste as well as our own summer tomatoes do.
And this intrigues me, because I would think, and Molly and Ron, you can jump in here too, that the target here is a little smaller. A, you're not trying to sell stuff that you can keep on a shelf for weeks or months, but also, you know, what happens to the food, say, that you bring down to Molly's indie farmer, winter farmer's market, that you're not able to sell on a Saturday? Do you toss it back in the truck? Do you throw it away? Do you?
It either gets composted or goes to a food bin or a food pantry.
Okay.
Food pantries are always thrilled to be able to get that, and they can get it out of their hands, you know, within hours normally from the time they get it. So, you know, they're always happy with getting those. So it's not an issue really getting rid of any excess a guy may have.
Is that a condition of having one of the booths, Molly?
No, it's not actually. Some of the vendors will sell to restaurants. Actually, we're seeing a trend going that way. And whatever they have left over, they usually have a couple of restaurants they'll call and say, I've got 10 pounds of carrots, can you take it? Or I've got arugula, can you take it?
Does that work in your, you know, since you're not staffed, Ron, it's an all-volunteer operation. Are there similar dynamics at work there, or do people just take their stuff back at the end of the day?
There are similar dynamics, and in the summer, for example, we have a PA system that goes all around the market, and that allows us to make sure that at the end of the market, we let the vendors know that the food pantry is there, and they'll be coming around with a wagon to pick up anything that's excess, and that works very, very well for us. And I would mention to you, talked about freshness. I look at freshness almost every Saturday morning. One of our top vendors is called My Dad's Sweet Corn. Mm-hmm. They grow their sweet corn up in Tipton. When they drive in on Saturday morning, corn stalks.
So you're the reason Lafayette doesn't have a farmer's market then. You're taking things from their geographic area. No, I'm giving you a hard time.
Corn stalks are hanging from the bumper of the pickup truck. You would never see that in any supermarket food operation. In fact, the average food that comes to your table from the supermarket comes from about 1,500 miles away. Every year, we do an analysis of where our vendors are located, and then we do an average, and the food that is at our market comes from an average of 26 miles away. The furthest distance is about 125 miles away. So we think that that is something that really, really sets farmers markets apart, is food security based on the fact that you don't have a long trip for your food, and food safety overall.
We are talking about farmers markets, winter farmers markets here on No Limits. Please join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you, John.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
John, I just wanted to bring up a new online farmers market here in Indiana called the Hoosier Harvest Market. I'm the market manager for that market, and we currently have 32 vendors available to shop through each given week. I just want to let all the callers know in Indianapolis we'll be opening up about 5 to 10 new pickup locations around Indy this season, and look forward to serving people.
Where would people find it?
24 or 12 months out of the year.
Where would people find information about this?
You can go to HoosierHarvestMarket.com.
Okay.
And you can either start shopping there immediately by going to the shop tab, or you can go to the About tab and learn more about what we do, and our mission statement is to connect Indiana farmers with Indiana customers.
Well, it sounds like obviously you're part of that 220% growth that Jennifer Dennis was talking about here, and the explosion of farmers markets.
Yes, very much so. We have done a feasibility study about a year ago that said this is something that Indiana would definitely be interested in, especially with the tech boom in Indianapolis right now. It really is something that we can be connected to through Facebook and Twitter and online and really get the word out to the customers about local farmers.
Okay. Well, it sounds like an idea and sounds like another show at some point, too. Thank you very much for the call, Michael. I appreciate it.
No problem, John. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, and I guess that's what, Molly and Ron, do you anticipate an end to this growth? I mean, if we're talking twice the national average here in Indiana, mm-hmm. and, 200% growth means that basically, you're not just doubling your business every year, you're in effect tripling it. So
I don't know that we would expect it to grow as fast forever. We're definitely starting to see kind of a leveling off. We'll have regular customers come back all the time. And we've been lucky enough in our new location at the city market to attract a wider range of people who wouldn't necessarily come to a farmer's market just because of our location. So I think we'll continue to see that, but I think people will get more used to the process, and probably the novelty will wear off at some point. I don't know when that will be, but.
Ron, how about you?
I think basically what we see is certainly a trend that right now is continuing, but I agree with Molly. I think this method of going to market with food products will tend to drop off to a certain extent, and will level off in the coming years. I think everything in the marketplace is cyclical, and it may level off, although this has been a long run mm-hmm. for markets. Mm-hmm. Markets have grown and grown and grown. When we first started back in 1998, we started with 8 vendors, and we had a hard time finding additional vendors. mm-hmm. Now,
how long is your waiting list?
Right now, we have over 30 vendors for the market that we can't accommodate. That's for the summer market. And we will turn down probably close to 45 for the summer market.
In addition to the 30 you've already got?
In addition to the 64 that we will fill the summer market with.
Okay. So 40 people are going to be looking for other outlets. How about,
yeah.
Molly, how about you? How long is your waiting list?
We usually get around 70 to 80 applications, and we'll have a wait list of about 10. And I usually have a list of people who can come if one of the vendors on the regular schedule can't make it.
Randy, I'm going to ask kind of an odd question, but do you want to continue? Do you want to see this grow more? I guess at some level, because you've got the 100-acre farm,
right.
and you've got a model that tells me is not so much about growth, it's about sustainability.
What I see happening, we run our farm stands in the summer, and they have leveled off over the last 5 or 6 years. The first 8 or 10 years, they just grew by 30% a year. But our growth has leveled off there. And like we were talking earlier in the show, it's a social event to go to a farmer's market. And I don't necessarily see that we necessarily need more farmer's markets, but as long as the customers are coming, spending their money, farmers will continue to grow and show up. It's a give and take that without the customers, I'm not going to go sit in my truck and watch the people drive down the street. Mm-hmm. They've got to stop. They've got to spend money to make it worth my time. And so as long as the consumers are still buying, I don't see why we can't continue to have good growth at the existing markets, whether we need more markets or not. I don't necessarily know about that. I mean, because it's tough to say that every town should have a farmer's market. Whenever we got some really good markets that have a lot more to offer, you got 3 guys sitting there selling sweet corn in a small town's not going to do anybody any good.
Ron and Molly, I mean, do you view each other as the competition or?
Sometimes, but most of the time it's different. People that will serve. People want to go as close as possible, so people from Hamilton County might not come down to my market, and I'm happy to, send them to Carmel if people from Indy will come visit my market too.
Who do you then? That raises another question. Who do you view as the competition, Ron?
You know, frankly,
or do
I
you view anyone as competition.
Yeah, we do. We view the specialty grocers, the Whole Foods, Fresh Market, Earth Fare.
Yeah.
Those are the entities that we see as competition for farmers markets. In many respects, however, that's good because it they bring another source of good food to the community. We just don't think they bring the socialization aspect of farmers markets to the community.
Gotten a question via Facebook from a listener who says, can anyone get a booth at a farmer's market? What is the application process? Are there limitations of foods, goods that can be sold? Thanks. Molly, I'll start with you and give Ron
sure.
a crack, too.
We would invite anyone to apply. Not everyone is going to be accepted. As I mentioned, we have criteria for sourcing locally, sourcing seasonably, and the practices that you'll follow. We also want to really support vendors that grow in Indiana, so we strive towards that, and sustainable practices, as I said, and then a commitment to the community is usually what we look for. So you can find all that information on our website. Usually what our process is you send the application in before the middle of September, and we should let you know in a month. And then we have an advisory committee who reviews all the applications and makes recommendations on who to accept based on the criteria that we have.
Ron, in about 30 seconds, what's your process?
We're in the process of selecting vendors right now based on the applications that come to us through the prospective vendor tab on our website.
Go ahead and give the URL again.
It's CarmelFarmersMarket.com, all one word, CarmelFarmersMarket.com.
Okay, and they'll find a tab there.
Yes.
And, you know, are there the second part of that, are there goods or products that you won't sell, limits there that of what people can sell? I'll stay with you, Ron.
We basically, as Molly said, we look to having Indiana-grown and or produced products, and we make sure that we, through our vendor selection process, have the vendors come in and make a presentation to the committee. And for prepared food vendors, they come in and have actual samples that the committee can try. And they make a presentation on whether or not they are available to be at the market the entire time frame.
Okay. Randy, real quickly, you're going to be there on Saturday. What's the best buy on Saturday?
Sweet potatoes.
All right. Sounds good. I'd like to thank my guests, Molly Trueblood, Randy Stout, Ron Carter, and Jennifer Dennis. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.